From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 14th day of May 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll check the agricultural news. It's all about the trade aid package that's being put together for farmers and ranchers as it's related to trade negotiations with China that fell through last week. And then, as we close out our time together, we'll look at the weather forecast, see how much rain might be coming for the Midwest and how long that will stymie farmers and their planting intentions for this year. And along the way, we'll also check in on the agricultural energies with Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services, and we'll do all that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And Wayne Nelson is here from L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Gosh, Wayne, it's been a while since we've actually had a turnaround Tuesday to talk about, but son of a gun, it finally showed up. That's pretty sweet.
It really is, Todd. I mean, it has been so long since we could do this with, you know, a very enthusiastic voice and feel like we're doing something good for change. So, yes, you know, the planning progress really, you know, got home yesterday when we were way under half what we should be on progression and looking at the weather forecast. You have too many of those 30% chance of showers in that little forecast you just gave.
Yeah, that was for Urbana-Champaign and other places across the Midwest, as we'll hear later, have a much tougher time. Iowa, I think, getting more rainfall. Northern Illinois may get a shot of rainfall that will slow it down as well. You mentioned yesterday's weekly crop progress report. It showed 30% planted for corn. That's way behind. And just 9% planted for soybeans. Both of those are national numbers, but the Illinois numbers are way, way back there. I think 1% on corn. It was just an incredible number. Just way behind at this point. And then Informa came out with some acreage figures today too, right?
Yeah, they took, you know, last year we planted 89.12 million acres of corn. Our March guesstimate for this year was about 92.79. And they dropped the corn acres by 2.1 million acres, and that is quite a drop. That in itself would be a 369 million bushel at the 176 that way. So, you know, quite a bit of reduction that way. They did increase the beans, though, and that was sort of a surprise to us when they increased the beans that much that we saw 24 to 27 cents higher in the beans today, except the funds were big buyers of beans today. 25,000 plus in the beans themselves and 12,000 contracts in the meal. So that really, their extreme shorts really helped us today.
So why do you think they've changed their positions? Do we have any indication or are beginning at least to let up on some of their position? What's been happening with them?
Well, I think that basically along the way, you know, it was time. There was sort of a change in attitude a little bit. The corn, they knew they would probably pull the beans a little bit. And, you know, with the size positions that they've been holding, why, that's not that big of purchases there. And I think they think, looking at the weather forecasts, and, you know, it's like you said, that we look around here, and there's not a real good chance of a lot of progress through the end of the month across the whole U.S. as we look at things.
Okay. How sustainable is an increase in soybean price? I mean, but green days, not sideways days.
Not sideways days. Well, I imagine we're still down below that we can maybe shoot back up. Tomorrow won't probably be as big a day as today, but we could probably maybe try 850 basis the July. But I think that's going to probably hold things in check with the ideas of changing corn acres to beans.
So what numbers are you going to be looking for next week on that weekly crop progress report? What make you continue to be friendly to the marketplace?
Well, I think unless we can add a big week and, you know, put like 20% planting on or something that way, well, it's still going to be very friendly because as we're looking at the weather forecasts, you know, the Northwest, the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, a lot of Illinois and parts of Indiana, and that look like they're not going to be able to make great progress. You know, we might get 10% in, but, you know, if we're still under 50%, under 40% or 45 or less, I think that's still going to be a positive figure looking at it.
So here we are at 30% done now. You're saying under 40. So if we only put 15% or less in, and the biggest weeks we've ever had, and they're pretty far apart, one in the 90s and then one recent, were 43% in a single week. So that's not happening. We're already not moving. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as we look at all that, why, you know, and there's other private crop watchers who are saying we could see as much to 3 to 4 million less acres of corn if we can hang off and get there. Because in a lot of areas, especially the Dakotas with the basis levels that they have, actually prevent plant pays more than planting the corn unless we can get a price increase coming along here. So I think that the board's going to want to tell us or encourage us to try to get out there and get in the field as soon as we can rather than drag our feet and click prevent plant.
Okay, so old crop has come along with both corn and soybeans so far. If we continue to rally, how much will it begin to lag?
Well, I think that the old crop is going to, drag back a little bit like that. I think we're going to run into trouble basically around the 375 to 380 mark on the July corn probably. And then, you know, like I say, and then see what's going on in the world. And what can happen with China? Could we actually decide to go talk to them later this week, or will they just wait until the G20 meeting? I think that that would be a big deal if we could get some progress showing there.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much.
All right, thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Just one agricultural news story for the day. This one comes from Washington, D.C. The new $15 billion trade aid package for farmers that President Donald J. Trump started talking about after the Chinese negotiations failed to end in a deal last week should come in a few days. Not weeks or months, says Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs Ted McKinney. He was talking with members of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting in Washington, D.C. earlier this morning. Now, McKinney says the aid will be both short and long term for farmers and ranchers. There will be cash payments like last year's MFP, as well as long term help. He mentioned marketing assistance funds to give a boost to the ag sector. The undersecretary says it's an all-hands-on-deck situation for USDA. President Trump has proposed in recent days to buy as much as $15 billion of farm commodities and donate them to developing countries. While some of the package may encompass some purchase donations, that will likely only be a small part of it. Somebody's going to have to tell him he can't do that because he'd be violating WTO rules, Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley of Iowa told AgriPulse. There is a humanitarian crisis around the world, says Grassley, but not $15 billion worth. Details of the cash payments have yet to come out, but AgriPulse reports there will be similarities to the MFP, but some differences. The payments could be based on acres rather than bushels. And that's a quick look at today's Ag News. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It showed, as I'm quite certain you're already aware, just 30% of the corn crop had been sown as of Sunday, the 12th day of May. The rolling five-year average is 66% for this same week. 10% of the crop that is in the ground has emerged. The rolling five-year average there is 29%. 9% of the soybeans around the nation have also been sown, but that lags well behind the 29% rolling five-year average. And the winter wheat crop is said to be in 49% good and 15% excellent condition. That's slightly better than last week, despite the fact that two combined numbers are exactly the same. It's just that more of the acreage is said to be in excellent condition this week than it was last. At about 42% of that crop is headed. The rolling five-year average is 54%. Now, here are updates from the state statisticians in Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Fieldwork activities were limited as rain across the state held Iowa farmers to just 1.9 days suitable for fieldwork during the week ending May 12, 2019. Iowa farmers remain hopeful for warmer conditions as below normal temperatures continued to slow crop emergence across the state. topsoil moisture levels rated 0% very short, 1% short, 67% adequate, and 32% surplus. Statewide, just 48% of the expected corn crop has been planted, 4 days behind last year and just over a week behind the 5-year average. This is the smallest percent of corn planted by May 12th since 2013, when just 15% of the expected crop had been planted. It is the fifth time in 40 years that less than half the expected crop has been planted by May 12th. West Central Iowa has the highest percentage of corn planted at 67%, while Northeast Iowa has the lowest percent of corn planted at 24%. 5% of the crop has emerged, 5 days behind last year and over a week behind average. 13% of the expected soybean crop has been planted, 6 days behind both last year and average. Just 1% of the crop has emerged, 2 days behind average. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Below normal temperatures dominated last week, and the wet weather pattern continued for many Illinois farmers. Topsoil moisture was rated 23% adequate and 77% surplus, while subsoil moisture was 30% adequate and 70% surplus. Days suitable for field work averaged less than one full day last week across the prairie state. Temperatures in Illinois range from 3 to 7 degrees below normal, and rainfall amounts were slightly above normal at 1.08 inches last week, with northern areas generally wetter than central and southern areas. Corn planting advanced by 1 point and is now 11% finished. That compares to 88% 1 year ago and 82% for the 5-year average. 4% of corn acres have emerged compared to 49% normally. Soybean planting remains stalled at 3% complete compared to 61% last year and 34% normally. 35% of winter wheat acres are now heading compared to 43% 1 year ago and the 5-year average of 53%. The condition of the winter wheat crop declined a little and is now rated as 25% very poor to poor, 38 fair, and 37% of wheat acres are in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office with weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending May 12, 2019. Minnesota farmers took advantage of the 3.3 days suitable for field work during the week. Field activities included hauling manure, spreading fertilizer, and planting. Planting progress was made for all crops in Minnesota, although much of the progress came out of the northwestern part of the state, having missed much of the precipitation that the rest of Minnesota received. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 1% very short, 1% short, 58% adequate, and 40% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply is rated 0% very short, 2% short, 56% adequate, and 42% surplus. 21% of Minnesota's corn was planted, that's 3 days behind the previous year and 15 days behind the 5-year average. Soybeans were 3% planted, that's 2 weeks behind average. 35% of spring wheat have been planted, that's 4 days behind last year and 12 days behind average. Oats were 44% planted, that's 12 days behind normal. 13% of the oat crop had emerged, and that's 16 days behind average. Barley planted reached 30%, and that's 2 days behind last year and 11 days behind average. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress. Let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energies as we do each Tuesday. We're joined by Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. All kinds of interesting things going on the world stage. What impact has it had on the energies over the last week to month?
Well, we've actually seen a two-way market in the energies. On the one hand, the tariff dispute has certainly weakened and led to some weakness in the crude market. But the pickup in some of the geopolitical risks here over the past couple of days in terms of Iran have helped provide some pretty good support to the market. Here with the market being up over a dollar or close to a dollar today. The situation certainly moves between the geopolitical risk, which is always hard to assess in terms of what kind of premium you need to put on price, and the macroeconomic fundamentals, which have been working, I think, against the market in terms of the overall supply-demand scenario shaping up for 2019. The OPEC report did come out today, and for the viewers, I think it's worthwhile looking at. It certainly gives a lot of information over the economic macro influences on energies, but also the global situation as well. You can get it through OPEC.org on the internet. But generally, we are looking at a situation which does portend some tightness as we move through the next two or into the through the first half of the year and into the third quarter of 2019. You're certainly continuing to see OPEC and particularly Saudi Arabia maintain their production restraint. On the other hand, Soviet Union Russia basically has tended to maintain their production levels somewhat higher than they had promised under the agreement with OPEC at the beginning of the year. I think a big factor is certainly the U.S. production expansion. We're looking at crude oil liquid production growing by over 2 million barrels this year, following a 2.2 million barrel increase last year. Certainly, that is taking away market share from the OPEC members, and that certainly is coming on the back of Saudi Arabia. This is going to be a source of potential weakness for the market. Saudi Arabia will not continue to be a swing producer forever. They certainly will need to probably increase their production levels rather than keeping prices high. I think they'll need to help expand product or demand as we move into 2019 and through 2019. Even though demand is growing, we will need to see demand grow quicker as the year wears on. And on the other hand, certainly the economic activity globally is going to be affected by the tariff dispute between the U.S. and China. And China will be a key factor to watch in terms of their economy. One other thing that you probably will have to watch is the Iranian situation. The lapsing of waivers here in early May is going to be watched closely to see how much oil actually gets out of that country despite U.S. Attempts to bring it down to zero in terms of exports. You will see China and India both try to secure supplies from that source surreptitiously. That could undercut the market as well.
Hey, thanks so much. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure, and have a great day.
You too. That, of course, is Steve Platt. He is at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Tug Gleason. Let's take a look at the weather forecast now with Don Dame. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Don, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.
Let's start in the Western Corn Belt. Work our way through this week. And then if you could come to the Eastern Corn Belt, Illinois on east, and tell us what the differences between the two might be.
Well, first of all, here in the short term, next couple of days, there's just going to be a little bit of scattered shower and thunderstorm activity in the western Corn Belt. But as we get into Friday and the weekend, especially as we get into the weekend, shower and thunderstorm activity will really increase across the already wet areas of South Dakota, southern Minnesota, Iowa, eastern areas of Nebraska, portions of Missouri, and some of the northern and northwest areas of Illinois. Those areas are looking at anywhere from between 1 to 3 inches of rainfall, with some of the heavier showers and thunderstorms all the way through probably about Monday or so. Now, the central and eastern Corn Belt, it is going to rain. However, amounts of rain are more likely going to be in the quarter to three quarters of an inch of rainfall through early next week. Now, if we were to peer a little bit further beyond that time frame, we're going to see better chances of rain spread a little bit further east into the central and eastern areas of the Corn Belt mid-late next week. Some of those more significant rains will spread into those areas.
How much of a problem do you think this will be for producers? They're already on saturated soils. Iowa is behind, not nearly as behind as Illinois and the eastern Corn Belt. You'd think it'll be light enough that they'll be able to move those amounts. Sound just like they're going to be stuck again.
I'm afraid that at least from what we're seeing over the next 10 to 15 days, that the amount of rain is going to cause further delays, especially in Iowa. Eastern Nebraska and Iowa, southern areas of Wisconsin and Minnesota and southeastern South Dakota, those areas that are wet are looking at the most rainfall. I mean, we could conceivably have 5, 6, 7 inches of rain total over the next 10 to 15 days in some of those areas. Now, there is a warmer pattern, so we're looking at a little bit of warmth helping there, but it's still going to be a really tough road to hoe here for a little bit longer in those western Corn Belt areas.
Okay, so I want to stay with Iowa for just a second because they have been moving a little bit last week. It looks like maybe they could be moving yesterday, today, tomorrow. Can they move on, what, Thursday and Friday or not?
Well, I think the next 72 hours, if we were to include today through Thursday, I think there'll be some movement. As we get into Friday, the weekend, and next week is where we're likely going to have some slowdowns.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear his remarks and, in fact, all of the programming again, or at least most of it, on our website anytime you'd like. When you're in the field, I think you probably ought to try this out as a podcast and figure out how to use that Bluetooth radio that you probably have in the truck. Maybe even in the tractor, it's pretty simple to do. You can always pick us up online at willag.org and then just play us directly through your radio anytime you'd like when you have time to listen to the whole program. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.